Jesus' name this morning, the one who Hebrews tells us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around something that doesn't change, because change is just part of who we are, right? It's part of our lives. We can hardly imagine something that stays the same or doesn't change, because so much changes around us. But the one we serve and worship this morning is a God of faithfulness, and that's a promise that we can close 2024 with and look forward to 2025. Things do change for us, don't they? Logan was planning to bring the sermon this morning, but his plans changed. And Logan's change of plans changed some other people's plans. So I appreciate your prayers this morning. It's nice to have a little bit more time to think about a subject before you share it. So I appreciate your prayers this morning. But I really enjoyed the Sunday school discussion this morning, and I knew we were in Exodus, and I thought the subject that I was going to share on this morning would have nothing to do with the Sunday school lesson, but there was a strong theme there, so I want to build on that this morning. Matter of fact, a question that was asked in our Sunday school lesson this morning was, what is success? And that is the title that I've chosen for the sermon this morning, is what is success? So I'm just going to build on what we were talking about in a Sunday school lesson. Moses said it was a life well lived, I think you said, Moses? So success. Moses said a life well lived. What are some other things that you would define as success? I think, Tim, you mentioned peace.
Telling someone about Christ.
I'm sorry?
Telling somebody about Christ.
Okay, telling someone about Christ. Any others? Treasure. You can open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9 for a sermon this morning. I'm reading through the book of Jeremiah in my personal reading right now, and I marked these verses from Jeremiah 9. So when it's where my mind was when I realized that I would need to prepare a sermon for this morning. These verses caught my attention, and I put brackets around them as I was reading through this book of Jeremiah. And the context here is God is speaking to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah and warning them of a judgment to come. He was going to bring to them because of their wickedness and their idolatry. And I know these verses are not written to us directly, but I think there's some direction here for us. And they reveal at least a little bit about the heart of our God. I want to lift these two verses out for a text this morning. Jeremiah 9, let's read verse 23 and 24. Thinking about the title of the sermon this morning, what is success? Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So sometimes when we get to this time of year, maybe we ask each other, did you have a good year? This is a thought in our devotional as well. Was 2024 a successful year? And I think we're often thinking about the things that we were able to accomplish in 2024. Did we meet our goals? Did we lose the weight that we set out to lose in 2024? Or you fill in the blank. We close this year and we reflect on the happenings of this year. Maybe it's in our business. We look at the different benchmarks. Did we meet our goals? Do we meet our obligations? And we can check those boxes and we can consider it a successful year. Those are the areas that my mind is, it's easy for my mind to go when I am considering the year and was it successful. But is that what success means? We have a measurement of success, don't we? And it's very, we tend to be very earthly minded, at least I do. So the challenge for us this morning is, am I measuring the success and failure of this year by God's standard? And if you notice here in chapter 9 of Jeremiah, there's three measurements that men use to measure success. And God says, do not use these as measurements of success. He says here, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. When we think about success, we tend to measure it by these three metrics, don't we? Well, someone has wisdom. They've learned something. They've completed a college course on a particular subject, and they've graduated. Well, that was a success. Or someone who is strong. They were able to lift whatever weight they were trying to lift. The other day at our family gathering, we were trying to lift some weights. Some of the young boys are really able to lift a lot. Some of us have enough wisdom to know that we should not lift those things because we'll pay for it. But there's strength. And the person who can lift the most, well, he's exalted, right? He's the strongest one here. Or how about riches? We see someone who's able to purchase a new vehicle. He must be having a good year. He was able to buy a new vehicle, or whatever it is. And then how often do we measure our success or the failure in our own lives by these three measurements? It's our nature to evaluate ourselves and others based on these metrics. And we have this scale in our mind of how well we're doing in these areas. But I'd like to think about the word glory here for a minute, because I think it's a key to understanding this passage. The word glory means to show or boast. Sometimes, if you do a word search in Strong, sometimes it was translated as praise. You could use the word celebrate or source of happiness. There are all ways that we can understand the word glory. What makes us feel successful or accomplished? Is it our wisdom? Is it our ability to outsmart someone else? And that's what makes us feel successful. Or is it our strength, our ability to accomplish? The task that was ahead of us, we pushed through, we conquered, and we glory in that success. And we'll talk about some of the positive ways we can do that maybe a little bit later. Maybe it's our bank account. We're able to achieve a particular level of savings this year. And we worked hard this year, and things have worked out well for us. The van surprised us, and it made it through another year. And we have that money still in our account. We don't have to replace it just yet. We have this extra money, and this was a good year. I was able to save some money this year. These accomplishments aren't necessarily wrong, and there can even be some good in them. The warning that I want us to see this morning is that they are inferior or of lesser importance and cannot be the source of our joy and the measurement of our success. And we've had these thoughts already in our devotional and our Sunday school class this morning. The thread that connects these three measurements of success is that they fade. They have very little, if any, eternal value. They have a way of slipping away, don't they? Wisdom. I think the older we get, the more we realize that we don't have as much as we thought we did. We thought we knew a lot about training children. But once you have children, it starts to realize how much more you need. Or maybe it's strength. You don't have to get very old and you realize that just not as strong as I used to be. It fades away. And we all know what can happen to money. It can just fly away and take wings. So these are very poor ways to measure our success because they're so temporal. They're so fading. They can just leave so quickly. If you think about Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever lived, the Bible tells us. But he still had choices to make. And even though he was the wisest man, he still made poor choices. And ultimately, he failed in some pretty major ways, even though he was the wisest man. The measurement of strength. When we think of strength, we think of Samson, right, children? The big Samson, all that strength that he was able to take that jawbone of a donkey and kill all those people. He could grab those gates and just walk up the mountain with them. Tremendously strong man. But Samson was a weak person, wasn't he? He was unable to control his desires. There was times that God was able to use his strength when Samson allowed God to direct his life. But Samson's weakness overcame his strength. His weakness of looking for things he shouldn't have wanted and wanting them for himself ultimately took his strength away. In riches, thought about the rich fool in Luke 12. By the measurement of wealth, he was doing quite well, wasn't he? He was having a good year. He was just having a successful year. He was unable to, his year was going so well that he had a dilemma. He wasn't sure what he was going to do with all of it. His barn wasn't big enough to even contain everything that he was able to accumulate. He had nowhere to go with it all. So he came up with a storage solution, and he felt like he had accomplished something. He had arrived now. He didn't have to worry about the future. He said, I have everything that I need. I don't need to worry anymore. That night he died. And it says his soul was required of him. And his life ended in poverty. Everything he had worked so hard for and felt so successful about was gone. And here's the sobering part. In verse 21 of Luke 12, it says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So the lesson there for all of us from that rich fool. If we allow these lesser things to be our measurement of success, we miss the greater fulfillment that God has for us. And our enemy, he's delighted when he can get us to feel successful with temporal things. When we can find our fulfillment in those things, Satan is very happy if he can distract us by that. But we know that's not true success. So what is true success? Let's look at our question here a little bit. Verse 24 lays out how God measures success. He uses a completely different metric than us as humans do or are tempted to. Verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth or finds his source of fulfillment, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. What's the most important thing we can do in 2024 and looking to 2025? What's the most important thing? Well, it says here, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Success is measured in things of eternal value. And there's nothing more of eternal value than understanding and knowing God. That's the ultimate success or failure. Do we know God? That's the ultimate success or failure. If we don't know God, then no other accomplishment really matters. But if we do know God, then the accomplishments don't matter either, right? Same both ways. In verse 24, he also gives us three things that God delights in. Not only does God delight in these things, but he exercises them. He carries them out. He displays them. Loving kindness, which means mercy, kindness, or pity. It's so easy to just show a little kindness. We have lots of opportunities in our own homes, whether it's our siblings, our wife, those closely around us, our children, our parents, people we meet in the store, people we pass on the sidewalk. It's so easy to just show a little kindness. Is our heart moved when we see a situation that could use our help? The person that's alongside the road that has a flat tire or it's broken down or whatever it is, is our heart moved that we can stop and offer a little bit of kindness? Think about the Good Samaritan. He was prepared. As he went down the road, the priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side of the road. But the Samaritan, he stopped and helped that person. He showed some kindness. And he went out of his way to do it. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that make our lives successful. It's things that we don't even know how far they can go. We're just doing a little act of kindness. Maybe it's just a smile for someone that is having a rough day. That kindness, that mercy that we can extend. And I think we know the value of this because when it comes the other way, it doesn't take that much, does it? Just a little note of encouragement can brighten our day. A text, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be something big. But God delights in these small acts of kindness, loving kindness, when we're willing to share that with our fellow men. God delights in judgment, it says here. We may be shy away from the word judgment. We don't want to be judged. But the word means order or fairness. It says here that God exercises these attributes, order and fairness. We like for things to be fair. We like for things to be right. And we can promote that. We see an injustice. Maybe it's between two people. We can try to be a mediator and to bring fairness to the situation. It's just ways that we can be a benefit to mankind. Then also righteousness in the earth. We know what righteousness means. Holy living. God wants to see these things lived out. And that's what he measures as success. It says here, I delight in these things, saith the Lord. God wants to see these things lived out in his people. Micah 6:8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. You notice these similarities between these attributes that God delights in and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, fruit of the Spirit. These are things that God delights in. And it's how we can be successful. It's how we can measure success as well. Well, what is success? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Some of my favorite verses that think about what is success and a guide for life. Philippians 3, these are words of Paul. Think about a person who was successful, an example to us. I'd like to take four lessons from the life of Paul, as he writes here in Philippians chapter 3, and ways that we can measure our success and can help us be successful in 2025. What was Paul's success? We know that Saul was a man of zeal. He was a successful man in the measurement of a Pharisee. He gives his credentials here in the beginning of chapter 3. Saul was someone who people made way for. He was a Pharisee. It says here he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, verse 5, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul, or Saul, as this life refers to, was successful by his own measurement, by the things that mattered to him before he was converted. But verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Going back to our text verse from Jeremiah, what's important? It's that we know God, right? Paul says here, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, was he a success? Yes. What can we learn from him? Paul was on his way to Damascus. He was a man of zeal. He was a man of passion. He was on a mission. He was on his way to success. But Acts 9:4 tells us, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We know from this point forward that Saul made a 180-degree turn and became a mighty man for God. What changed? What changed in Paul's life? First key to success, we've already mentioned this, but knowing him, knowing Christ. Saul changed to Paul when he met Christ on that road to Damascus and said, who are you, Lord? And he was struck down. He said, who are you, Lord? Knowing Christ is the key to success. Remember our text verse from Jeremiah says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do we know Christ this morning? Paul thought he knew, but he didn't understand who Christ was. But when he had that encounter with Christ, and that light struck him down, and Jesus spoke to him directly, Paul said, who are you, Lord? I think it's a question we should all ask. Ask God to reveal himself to us. Lord, I want to know you more today than I did yesterday. And we grow in that understanding and knowledge of who Christ is. That's how we find success. As we know Christ more and more, we grow in the walk that he has for us. We grow in our knowledge of him, and that's how we find success. That's how Paul found success, is in turning 180 degrees when he realized what he was doing wrong and followed after Christ. He became a mighty person for the kingdom of God. Second key, I think, to Paul's success here was surrender. We talked about this in Sunday school class. The person who has terminal illness and is able to still bring glory to God. That only comes through surrender. Paul's life changed when he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's when Paul's life changed from a person who was tearing down the kingdom to someone who was building it. Surrender. It's not a word we like too much, but it's a key to success. We're going to be successful, there's going to have to be surrender. And from our carnal perspective, the way to be successful is to come out the winner, right? You outsmart the other person. You outmaneuver the other person. You fight until you conquer. But the way to be successful in Christ's kingdom is to surrender. Paul says here, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 10 says, and when Jesus surrendered his will to the Father there in the garden and went to the cross, it looked like the ultimate defeat, didn't it? It looked like Satan had won and the promised Messiah was a failure. But it was in those lowest moments, those lowest points of surrender, that the plan of God from the foundation of the world, Hebrews says, unfolded and the ultimate victory was accomplished in that surrender. It's how we can be successful as well. If we're going to have spiritual success, there's going to be some things that my flesh is going to have to die to. It's going to have to be crucified. And that's going to be my key to success. The third key here to success, I believe Paul exemplified it here in this passage, is leaving past accomplishments and failures at the cross. Paul recognizes that he needed to put things behind him. These credentials that he had, this heritage that he had, this lineage, I should say, that he had, he put that behind him. He had some accomplishments. Paul didn't ignore these things, but he recognized where they rated, where they stacked in this idea of success. He realized the importance that they held, or lack of it. These things that meant so much to him before his conversion just didn't mean that much to him now. He said, I count them as dung that I can win Christ. And I'm sure Paul had some other things that he had to leave at the cross as well. I'm sure that the look on Stephen's face and the last phrases he spoke, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I'm sure were some phrases that Paul never forgot about as long as he lived. I'm sure he had to keep bringing these things back to the cross and leaving them there. And I'm sure he had the opportunity to preach to some people who he had imprisoned. Or maybe he killed their family members. And I'm sure there was times that Saul had to keep coming back to the cross and lay those things down once again and trust in the blood of Jesus. That's the key to our success as well. Our accomplishments, however we perceive them, our failures, we all have them, right? They all must be brought back to the cross. And for us to go forward and be successful, we must leave those things at the cross. Number four, key to success is pressing towards the mark. Spiritual success is not a place that we arrive at, but rather we press onwards toward. Paul writes a picture here of reaching toward what's ahead. That's a key for success, isn't it? Some of you know one of my friends, he's an intense runner. He runs up the mountain no matter what the weather may be. He's successful at winning races. But he keeps running. He keeps training. He keeps himself in shape because he knows there's more races ahead that he wants to participate in. And those are just earthly races. Success is not reaching a destination, but it's progress. We keep pressing forward. Pressing towards that mark. And that's what success is. Well, here in conclusion, I'd like to look at three things. What is success? Just kind of a recap or review. Number one, it's knowing God and growing in that knowledge. Relationship with God. That's the ultimate success or failure if we miss that. Number two, it's remember to measure success by God's standard. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, instead of man's measurement, wisdom, might, and riches. Those are all earthly things. Number three, every day, be be just a little bit closer to the mark. Keep pressing towards that mark. And I hope these challenges can help us to think about this past year and as we make goals for this coming year. When someone asks us if we had a successful year, we can remember how to measure that and what metric we want to use. God's metric, not man's metric. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we had to come together this morning and worship. Lord, thank you for what each person contributed to the service this morning. I pray that you would meet our needs, whatever they are. You know where the journey each of us are on, and I pray that we continue to every day press toward that mark of being more like you. Lord, we know that while we're here on earth, we'll always fall short of what we should be. We're in this flesh. Lord, we look forward to the time when we can be in your presence and we can be in complete perfection. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to always keep our eye on that goal and to measure our success and our failures according to your word, and we can press on daily. We ask this all in Jesus' name.